Morning to each one. Greet you all in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this morning, worshiping with y'all. I always enjoyed coming here. I always like the little setting here. It's a nice little setting here in, I don't know if you call it a cove or the valley. It's a beautiful picture, and it's beautiful no matter where we are with God's people. When we can sit down and worship, turn our hearts to Him, open His Word, and be inspired. Good to see neighbors here and some family. Didn't expect to see y'all and friends from years ago. May it sound like I'm old, but we're getting there. Yeah. This morning, what the Lord has laid on my heart to share is something that inspired me this week. In between Nolan's place and ours is a small creek. It's a little flat wetland area. And right this time of the year, I'm sure you have them around here too, but these spring peepers. It's a little creature that could probably fit on your thumbnail. And they can make a tremendous song. I call it a song. Some people probably call it a racket. But this little frog, I went down there a few nights, took different the children with, and we hunt them down and sit and watch them. You can get relatively close to them, a couple inches away from them, and they will not quit their song. They'll just, I won't try to imitate it, but they'll just keep peeping. And as you think of that, as you think of nature, and with spring coming on, the migratory birds coming, or the summer birds coming back, building nests, singing songs. Springtime of the year is such a beautiful time when you see so much life springing forth, and birds singing and song. And my heart was touched by those little creatures and thinking how God wants us to praise Him. So this morning we'd like to think of praising the Lord, something that we all had the opportunity of doing here this morning, in turning our hearts in praise to Him. And this is something that God doesn't require of us to do. He said this is what you must do, but He wants us to choose to do this willingly from our own hearts. He wants us to become a lifestyle. So this morning, what does your life say? Or what is your expression of life? Is it praising the Lord? We praise our Lord when we're satisfied with where He has us. And that can be many different circumstances in life. The songs we sang just a little bit ago, some of those phrases weren't the most desirable ones. It talked about trials and grief, and I can't remember all those words, but yet we see God, and our hearts are turned to Him, and are in tune with Him. Praise is an expression of admiration. We're regarding something highly. It's an expression of appreciation, and it also is an expression of thanks. Through the scriptures, there's many accounts of people giving praise to God for what He does in creation. We think of His blessings, how He has blessed His people. And we see how He sustains life. And it's only through Him that we can have this. And also our praise turned to God for who He is, for His loving kindness, His justice, His patience, His faithfulness, and His forgiveness. These very things should touch each of our hearts. Revelation 4 verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Here we think of this verse here, points back to creation. Why the things are around us, why we are here, is to bring honor and glory to God. But the choice is yours, the choice is mine to do this. We are not like the angels that were created for a special cause. We are given a choice. And I choose, this morning we're here because we want to praise our Lord. Each of us has to turn our hearts to Him. Throughout the Psalms, David poured out his heart of praise. We know his life has been difficult at times, when he was fleeing for his life, when he fell into sin. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart. Because I believe he, in those times, he turned his heart time and time again back to God and praised him and thanked him for leading him, for protecting him, and for extending his hand of mercy towards him. David realized that God was guiding the events of his life. He didn't always know the purpose of it. But yet he remained steadfast, seeing God for who he was. And how many times in our life? Think of life as the old scale was. You had the balance. So often, sometimes, life seems like it's going wrong. Evil's prevailing. Righteousness, we wonder where it's at. And we focus on the heavy side of it. And we forget to see but God. We tend to look at the negative. Maybe I'm expressing my own makeup. How we can see all that. And we fail to see that, you know what? God is just orchestrating this through his time. He's working with me. He's working with you. Can we seek his strength in those times? Those little frogs didn't seem too bothered by the presence of something that wasn't supposed to be in their environment. Weird lights, flashlights, cameras. I'm not sure what they sense, what they seen. Were they praising the Lord? I believe in Revelation there it talks about that they were created for God's pleasure. Even though we know this is only for a few weeks when they come out. But every spring they're there bringing praise and glory to God. They weren't bothered by the circumstances around them. How can you and I be that, I don't want to say be like the frogs, but not let the circumstances of life shake us that we lose our song of praise. Isaiah 26 verse 3, I believe, when we think about the trials and the things that come in our life, Isaiah 26 3, I believe this is the medicine that we need to remember. For this here is, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in me. Let's not forget that no matter what circumstance are coming our way, that God is there. I'd like to look at the message in four different areas this morning. The first one is our attitude of praise, our commitment to praise. And what can rob us of our praise and restoring our praise? So our attitude. I believe this is where it all starts. That mental position or feeling with regard to the fact. Our attitude. We know the old saying, attitude is everything. And we know how our attitudes can affect, or the people we're around, their attitudes can affect how we relate to circumstances at time. It has a bearing on things. We enjoy being around those that have a positive attitude. Those that have, seem like that upbeat personality that, it creates that song of praise. They inspire, they encourage, they promote action. Proverbs 23, verse 7, I believe is a verse that sheds light on this. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in the Sunday school lesson, we thought a little bit that thinking and actions. But as I take from this verse that he thinketh, it becomes a process. We meditate on it, we're pondering it. It's not that temptation that flies in and we deal with it and it leaves, but as a man thinketh. What do I dwell on this morning? What do you dwell on this morning? Is it those thoughts that inspire and encourage and promote? This morning, moms and dads, what is your attitude of praise throughout the week? Do we see the good, or do we reflect on the bad? Our attitudes will be expressed in words and actions. And this can come out so fast. Just I was studying yesterday some, and the office chair has that little lever on the side that, you know, it lowers it. You know, the first time my son did it was kind of funny. And this is something that's been going for weeks, and I was not paying attention to who's coming around me. I had my toes tucked up underneath the chair, and it's getting a little bit old, you know, constantly, a couple times a day, dropping out. My toes were straight down underneath my chair, and the chair drops, and my toes get pinched. It wasn't funny anymore. Because my attitude towards it has changed. It's becoming a nuisance. It's becoming a little bit of a... Well, anyway, you all know how those things work. But the expression was there to my little son. It was what I've been pondering. I'm getting tired of it. So these things bleed out in our life. It becomes an expression. When we come home from work, dads, it's always good to come home. It's always good to sit down for supper. We have our prayer of thanks. But where does the conversation go from there? Do the attitudes bleed out? Was our prayer of thanks just a normal ritual? That, you know, we thank God for the food, thank for protection. But then the rest of the meal, is it still thanks? Or is it an expression of something different? As we go from day to day, our little ones develop the same attitude I have. These little children monitor our speech, our actions. And they become the little Johnnies in our home, the little Jimmies in our home. We need to be careful with our attitude. We need to have that attitude of praise. The same way we pray, we need to act throughout the meal. These innocent little ones will carry a stamp of our image throughout life. What kind of platform are we laying for them? What kind of framework are we giving them to build off of? Is it solid? Is it what the scripture promotes? Is it what the scripture upholds? Or is it a little shaky? Again, this is all starts. This thinking of praise and worship, praising our Lord, it comes out in these little everyday details of life. It's that daily commitment in the second area of, we'll look in the second part there, our daily commitment to praise the Lord. Psalm 61, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. That second word says will. It's something that I will do. And the last part said, daily perform my vows. That renewal, that commitment, that God, this is what I'm going to do for you today. Again, this ties back to our attitude. When we begin our day, so often we ask God to go walk with us, guide and direct our footsteps, help us to remember who we are, what we are to be. But when them frustrations and pressures come, what is my response? What do people see? Can they see that I chose to walk with God today? Can they see me praising His name? They most likely didn't hear our prayer that morning. Many people forgot to pray that morning, but can they see that you prayed that morning? That you asked God to work through you. That commitment to daily praise Him. Do they see Christianity in shoe leather? Walking for God, not for self. The older we get, the busier we get, it seems like. And it don't seem to take long for a day to turn to a week. And we know the whole, then weeks is a month. And then here we're at the end of another month here. That daily commitment to praise the name of our Lord. Psalms 34. Turn to that one there. Psalms 34, the first three verses are such powerful little verses. This is the verse that came to my mind when I seen the frogs. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. God's not talking to frogs here this morning. God's talking to you and I. I know David was writing this song, but we can take it and apply it. We can see it as inspiration that we need to take upon our own life. Continual praise. And the verse 2 has that thing. I see that little, the last part of that verse. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I think of our children. Hear the thing of reputation or how our little ones are affected by our praise. Our commitment is contagious here. And that's how why here's the humble shall hear thereof. As our children, the next generations, here's our daily commitment. It affects their life and their walk. It's contagious. Is my praise spontaneous? Or is it a required? I like the definition of spontaneous. Done and produced freely. Acting. Taking place without external force. Impulse. Instinctive. Automatic. Is that how your praise comes? Sometimes working with, I know you all, or many of us work with children. And sometimes we tell them to cheer up and do their chores, you know. You can do the dishes with a song. But that's a required thing that us parents give them. Young people or school-age children, sometimes they don't really like to sing. It's cool not to sing. I hope y'all don't struggle with that here. But I think as time goes on, one generation ain't much different than the last one. But I remember being in school, and we know praise wasn't the number one thing. When you see people barely mumbling in song, we as parents need to encourage singing, cheerfulness, help it to be spontaneous, but most of all, have it in our own life, our own heart, that they know that it is for real with mom and dad. When our praise is real, I believe it will inspire them to be real with praise as well. But then there's also things that can rob us of our praise, thirdly. And we know the devil wants to take that away from each one of us. There's none of us here that the devil doesn't want to destroy. And I believe he can rob us of our praise two different ways. Turn to Isaiah 59. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. This morning, the devil would like to get each of us to fall into sin. And when he gets us to sin, it will separate us from God. when there is sin in our lives, we cannot praise our Lord. Scripture tells that He is high and holy, righteous. Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath a clean hands and pure heart. Sin blocks our praise this morning. And the devil realizes that and knows that. And we know he's an enemy of God. But the devil also wants us to have distorted praise. And that's something I believe that can become more real to each one of us. Is when the devil tempts us that says we can have some of this and yet praise our God. And this is a snare that we have here in America with so much where we can justify, and my own carnal nature I can nurse at the same time claiming to praise God. There's other parts of the world where Christianity is a clear line, it's a clear cut, where they don't have all these things that crowd out our lives. But he tells us you can serve yourself and you can serve God too. You can be a little selfish. Enjoy the things of this world. Selfishness will rob us of our praise. Selfish people seek the praise of others. Other human beings or other people, not the praise of God. We've seen that in the Sunday school lesson with Ananias and Sapphira. Why would they be outside of selfishness? They wanted to have a name for themselves. They weren't seeking the praise of God. And we know how destructive, or how they lost their lives. But in our world we live in, we see people who are dumping their life into their own interest, their own desire. They are their own person, and how destructive it is. Luke 16, 22 through 25 talks about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was a selfish man. He didn't see the need right there at his doorstep, or he didn't care about him. I'm sure he's seen him, but he didn't care about him. And this morning the Bible says very clear that he's in hell because of selfishness. The devil, I'm sure, gave him every one of his excuses that he could have for taking care of himself. Jesus tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things of this world. But the devil wants to twist that. We can have some of this world and enjoy it. And he does that each day. He don't do that only on Fridays, on payday. He does it every day. This morning, does Jesus have your all? Does he know that you are loyal to him, serving him wholeheartedly? Yes, he does. Do you know if you're serving him wholeheartedly? Yes, you do. I also know if I'm keeping some for myself. So let's remember that selfishness is a sin against God. Just recently, I was at a baptism. And there was a young man. That church did it a little different. They had each one of the ones in the class gave their testimony at the podium on their walk with God, how God led them from when he first was that light, when he called them, and who they were and their journey through life to that point. And there was one little boy got up there. I shouldn't say little boy. He was a teenager. He stood at the podium and he was saying how he had an idol in his life and how God showed him what it was. He said, that idol was me. He's seen himself as somebody that was selfish, that was out for himself. And God spoke to him through and showed him who he was. And then his testimony from there, how he wants to be of use to God's kingdom and grow. And how that brings glory and praise to God as we give of our all to him. And if we have found ourselves which I think we all know what it's like to have our praise robbed from us. When we have become selfish, or where we have sinned and fallen from God. But God does make a way back to him that we can restore, have our praise, that he can have our praise. Isaiah 59, verse 1. We just read the Isaiah 59, 2, but let's jump back one verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Those are precious words there, Hal. God still has a listening ear for that penitent heart, that heart that wants to come back to him. When we become aware of our need and our lack, and we return to God, he's there. He has made a way back. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know what that experience was like. When we gave our heart to the Lord, the burdens rolled away. The peace we had in our heart and the joy. That's what God wants from us every day. We were so full of his peace. We didn't know how to express it all. Let's remember, our praise is an expression of our heart. Remember that young boy, his testimony, how he was full of himself and he gave himself up and how he wants to be used for God. Maybe you're here this morning and there is no known sin in your life, yet the cares, the pressures, the burdens, the load seems to be taking your song away. And I think we all experience that at times. That one song we said made light of that. But let's not let that rob us of our praise. Let's remember to thank God for that listening ear, that ear that's not heavy there in Isaiah 59, verse 1. He's there listening to our cry. He's listening to your prayer. He knows your pain. And he's just saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when we have that rest, knowing that Jesus hears, it will cause praise to come from our life. Scripture has different accounts where people have had experience. I think of Paul and Silas there in Acts 16, where I have never been beaten that severely. I was never in stocks. I was never in prison as an inmate. But there Paul and Silas sat in them stocks after being beaten for preaching the gospel, treated like outcasts. At midnight, when they couldn't sleep, probably because of the pain, they began to sing praises to God. We love that story, or I do. We knew great things happened at that point. They could have ran free. But there was a soul saved because they turned their hearts to praise. If they would have looked at life's not fair and left the circumstances tear their praise to their creator away from them, I don't think that soul would have been, the jailer wouldn't have been touched. His whole household would have been lost. But again, it was that expression to praise. It was their attitude of what God has done. We owe God all of our praise. We can't keep anything for ourselves. He has done so much. In Psalms 103, you can turn back to the writings of David there. We won't take time to read these verses. I want to read the first few, though. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all mine iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Those few verses have so much that we need to praise him for. It was extended here to David, I don't know how many thousand years ago, and it's extending out to you and I this morning. Can you bless God this week as you go throughout the week? Are our children going to see us praising the Lord? Let's kneel for prayer.